Good morning, Mint and Matara listeners.
Good morning, Mint and Matara listeners.
I am Matara.
I am Mint.
And today, we're here to yap.
Well, you are.
I am gonna yap and you are gonna listen. All of you are gonna sit back, relax, and learn about Warhammer 40K.
I'm ready to absorb information.
Like a sponge. You're gonna expand. You're gonna get like all chubby after this with all the nice information.
California girls.
California Mint, she's unforgettable. Yep. With all her Warhammer knowledge in her head.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to purge some Metal Gear stuff for this.
No, stop. They're gonna kill me. They're gonna find where I live and squeeze me in my sleep.
How dare you get rid of our brain rot? No, I think they'll be happy a little bit, probably.
I think so too. This episode has been an extremely, extremely long time coming, and I'm gonna get into it pretty quickly because knowing me, this might take a while. And I'm scared that we're going to yap for 30 minutes and then get into the episode and then it's going to be another 3-hour episode.
No, we're good. Go start.
I'm starting. Okay. All right, everybody, I hope you have your tea, your hot cocoa, your whichever. Mint, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking tea.
There we go. Okay, good girl. What kind of tea?
Genmaicha, my favorite.
Yummy.
It's so good. It's rice.
Yummy.
I like it too. It like tastes a little, I want to say burnt, but it's not burnt. It tastes like roasted.
Roast? That's the best. Yeah.
Roasted.
I love, like, anytime I go to a bubble tea place, it's just like roasted hojicha, roasted oolong.
I'm
like,
love
yes.
that taste.
Eat it up. Okay.
So, very quickly before we start, this is very much a beginner's guide to 40K. I am very much a beginner, but I would like to share this world with Mint because this is something that I'm very passionate about. And maybe some of you listening, if you were wondering about it, there's a lot of things I won't get into. This is going to be a really big overview, a really small overview of kind of the big,
big
players.
Small, doesn't matter. It's an overview.
It's going to be a small overview of kind of like the big players in the Warhammer 40K universe. There's going to be a few disclaimers I have to start with. Number one, a lot of the books and a lot of the lore is written from the Imperium of Man's point of view, or like the little humans.
Boo, humans, boo, people.
They're so boring. I'm sorry. I know this is so uncool of me to say, but I am a space cockroach. Look at me. Clearly, I am not here to get into Warhammer 40K to play with humans. Even if they're 8 feet tall, genetically modified humans coming from the loins of the Emperor, which I'll tell you more about.
Wait, what?
No, I'm just not interested.
Wait,
so
why did you come to Earth then?
My planet got blown up, Mint. I had no other choice.
Oh, sensitive topic.
yeah. How could you be so insensitive, Mint?
Sorry, my bad.
It's kind of a serious topic.
I thought you wanted to learn more about the humans.
Well, once I got here, I figured might as well.
Did you think gotta learn more about your food?
It's like, you know when you learn about where your cow came from, the cheese tastes so much better.
Oh, I thought you meant the meat.
Well, the meat too. Yeah, the meat, the cheese, the everything. Yeah,
once you know? You learn that your cow had a name and a family, and yeah, like, and that it lived a good life.
Uh-huh.
Don't you love that? Don't you love learning all about your cow, and then you devour its meaty insides?
Yeah, it's like that's why you learn where your grapes are from when you drink your wine or how your beer was made. You know.
Now I'm just hungry.
Careful. We got a lot of podcasts to go. So my disclaimers, just to be, I am going to do a very quick overview of some of the big players in the galaxy, along with a very, very small timeline.
Okay.
A lot of the books are written from the humans' point of view. And frankly,
boring,
as you get into it, boring, snore, humans. What I want is the aliens. What I like is chaos. I like the weird stuff, you know? I hope that this makes you kind of more excited to learn about the world. As always, there's quite a few games on Warhammer. I think right now Warhammer is kind of having a really nice resurgence because they do something really, really smart where they basically license their IP to authors and to game companies. Which is why you have these really, really awesome games made with the Warhammer IP. And quite frankly, a lot of you probably played some Warhammer games without realizing that you played some Warhammer games. Like Darktide, Vermintide, Mechanicus, Boltgun, Space Marine. Vermintide, yeah. That's kind of Age of Sigmar or fantasy because it's with the little Skaven, the little rats. I freaking love them. Actually, look them up. Look up Skaven.
How do I spell that?
They're not technically in this universe. S-K-A-V-E-N.
S-K-A-V-E-N.
So very quickly, from what I understand of 40K, or 40K is our world 40,000 years in the future, right? Fantasy is a fantasy world, but this is where it kind of gets a little silly goofy. They have the same chaos gods. So technically somewhere they're kind of connected, but okay. I'm not really sure and neither are other people. Okay. That's a story for a different time.
I'm already confused. It's fine.
How cute are these little rats? Look at their little like turrets. Look at their everything.
You should put some pictures in the Discord.
I should. Hold on. So these, I know we started with 40K and I'm here talking about Skaven.
She's already jumping around.
I'm already jumping around. Are you even surprised?
No.
Here. hold on. Let me.
Yeah, I'm looking at that guy.
Look at these little guys. They're so cute.
Rat bones he has on the back of the rat.
Wait till you see they have. They have these little, I don't even know what the word is. It's not a hex tech. I'm thinking of League of Legends. But the way they're like turrets and everything is done, it's kind of like, I forget the word for it, but how would you call it? It's like steampunk, I guess?
Oh, okay.
Look at the last thing I sent, the Doom Wheel. It's kind of steampunk, but also, you know?
It's giving Mad Max.
Yeah. But yeah, look at the play claw. It's so cute. And the little rat putting in the stuff in the catapult at the top. Look at his little toesies. I love him.
Wait.
All right.
Oh, I see.
This is not about Age of Sigmar or fantasy. This is about 40K.
Right.
All right, Mint. Are you ready?
I think so. Okay.
Let's begin.
Yes.
So first come my favorite faction, which I know is surprising because everybody would think they're Tyranids, but my favorite faction are called the Necrons. Now, before everybody freaks out at me, they are the coolest. They are the coolest. They have the coolest history. To me, they are absolutely the main characters of this story. I don't care what anybody says, okay?
Is that why you like me so much?
Because you're the main character of my story?
No, because I'm dead. So are these guys.
They're definitely... Oh my God, maybe you're right. Okay. So imagine 65 million years ago, okay? About 60 to 65 million years ago, there lived these little Necrons. And these little Necrons, and they lived on a little planet. But alas, they kind of pulled the bad card and they lived on a planet with a terrible sun. And they basically had a form of uber cancer of the skin, like to the point where their flesh would be rotten away. Things were not going good. They had awful lifespans. You know, it wasn't very good.
Okay.
Right? That sucked. So initially, they didn't look like this. So there's a photo in the document that you can take a look at. This photo, that's not what they're looking like. That's their photo now.
Which is the photo? The first document?
Or the first Warhammer lore document.
No, I'm on it.
That's okay.
There's links. There's no other picture. There's just the one picture, the Necron hierarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. Warrior, Lich Guard, Lord Nemesor, Overlord, Pharaon, right?
Yeah.
That's what they look like now.
Okay.
But basically before this, I haven't been able to find a good picture. Maybe Krupp can find one. From what we know, it's just that they had flesh and they had just awful diseases. Like they lived on a planet with this sun that was diseasing them. It was not good. TLDR is they got tricked by gods, the Katan, a group of gods, into trading their flesh. And now they are quote unquote robots with an imitation simulacrum soul inside. Basically, you look at the little warrior, right? The little guy with the gun. Mm-hmm. If he dies, his soul or whatever that is can go to another one of those guys and he'll just kind of be reborn. But the problem is, the lower and the weaker they are, kind of, you know, they're basically almost like mindless slaves versus the Pharaoh will have kind of good, they'll be able to make smart decisions. They'll be able to do a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So, I guess kind of the TLDR here.
Slaves.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's some of the lower, right? You're my girlfriend. You're my stinky girlfriend.
No, I think I would fall under an overlord at least.
So here's like a very quick recap. About 60 million years ago, the Necrons have the super cancer. So they went to ask the old ones, which are super gods, which by the way, right now, all we know in the universe is Necrons, old ones, and the Catan. There might be other kind of races and stuff like that, but either they aren't important or they died out, or because this is 65 million years before right now where the story is going to go. So the Necrons as the old ones, think of them as like super gods to cure their uber cancer. And the old ones were like, no, why would we do that? You guys are crazy. And the Necrons, one thing I love
That's
about
so
them.
Sad.
I know. One thing I love about the Necrons is they hold a grudge. They're angry little guys. They're like, yeah, you're not gonna cure our uber cancer. We're going to go to war with you. So the Necrons go to war with the old ones. Okay. And the Catan are also a group of gods. And they're like, hey, Necrons, we can cure your uber cancer and kind of ally with you and help you against this war against the old ones. So the Necrons said yes. And basically the Necrons got betrayed. I am not sure exactly what their deal arrangement was, but the Necrons basically gave away a really big part of their, I don't want to call it humanity, but I guess Necron-manity.
Okay.
And instead they became slaves of the Satan and they basically just lost. Now they're just kind of these hulks and husks. And like I said, they don't have a soul anymore. They kind of just have a simulacrum of a soul.
Okay.
So then they go to war. And this is another thing that God bless the Necrons, right? Every other race is doing their best and trying everything. The Necrons went to war with gods and exterminated like 90% of these gods.
Dang.
Just because they were like, you know what? You're not going to cure my uber cancer. Screw
Death
you.
To you.
Death to you.
If I die, and thus, you die.
Yeah. This chapter was called The War in Heaven. Okay. So during this war in heaven, the old ones created something called the Kroorks, which is like orcs with the KR.
Okay.
And the Ildari, which we'll get to sooner. So while this is happening, just keep this as a reminder. There is so many people dying, so many gods dying, so much suffering, so much war, so much plague, so much everything, right? Like stuff is not good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the war in heaven is happening. The Kroorks and the Ildari, which we'll get to in a moment, are created by the old ones. Now the Necrons, once they're done with the old ones, are like, hey, wait a minute. Satan or Catan, you guys betrayed us. You guys kind of suck. So what do? They turn on the Satan for betraying them.
Is it Satan or Catan?
I don't know if it's Satan or Catan, so I'm sorry, y'all.
If it's like now, Satan, it's like Satan.
No, I think it's more like Catan.
Okay.
Like the settlers. right? So this is where things get a little dicey. We're going to kind of jump back again and remember the Kroorks and the Ildari.
Okay.
So very quickly, we're going to take a quick look at the Kroorks.
Okay.
So the Kroorks in today's timeline no longer exist.
Aww.
You know how most races evolve, right? Like people will say, oh, the birds that we currently have evolved from dinosaurs, which
right,
is kind
right.
of crazy because it's like, they devolved from dinosaurs, correct?
I think this is an improvement. What are you talking about?
So think about it. If the modern bird is an orc, then the previous prehistoric dinosaur was the Kroork.
Okay.
So the Kroorks basically were formed in order to help defend the old ones and all that. And eventually, when there was no more war to be doing and no more stuff like that, they devolved into orcs, which...
They got lazy.
If you look at the links, open the Orc Boys, the second link.
Okay.
The orcs are kind
orc
of the
boys. That's literally their name. Boys with a Z?
Yeah. And then look at them. Look at the goofy little guys. Look at the little goobers.
They are really goofy looking.
So orcs, nobody is going to be upset when I say this, are the comic relief. Okay. But this is okay. So fun fact, they happen to be psykers is a word in this universe used for mages or magicians or people who use the warp and things like that. They happen to be the strongest mages in the universe.
What?
Yeah, but they don't know it and nobody really understands it. So they'll just think things and they happen, right? They'll just think something and it happens. And because there's so many of them, they, as long as they just think things, they can think anything into existence. But that's not how they're used. They're used as like, they're these big sentient mushrooms, basically. They're barely more intelligent than a mushroom, I'm telling you.
And that is an interesting comparison.
Mm-hmm. A big kind of tagline of the orcs is wah, which basically means war. So whenever they're like going to war, they'll just scream wah. And if you look at my text, right, they just want to fight the biggest and the meanest orc. Oh. That's kind of how they talk. If you look at all the things I linked you, there's the Def Koptas and the Gorkanot. Yeah. It's very much like they have in the audiobooks a Cockney accent and all they want to do is just run and fight.
I like the Gorkanot. That thing's so awesome.
How cool. The way I think about the orcs is I think if you gave a five-year-old an idea of like what an army would look like, that's what a five-year-old would do. And I love that. Like, they're just so happy to fight. They're just so eager. All they want to do is just fight. And they want to fight the biggest orc. The biggest orc is the leader. Uh-huh. They're just always kind of used as this comic relief. They're super funny. Their books are awesome. but here's an example of their magic, right? They were in space with no air and they just were fine because to them, they were just breathing and they didn't know that they couldn't breathe without air.
Oh my God.
Until someone brought up that they can't breathe in space. They can make ships fly with no fuel just because they're like, oh, the ship is flying, you know, like.
So they're like OP, but because they're so silly, stupid, dumb, they just...
Exactly. They are the most OP if they ever got together with like a proper leader management who was like, hey, let's all think together about this. Let's all bring this stuff together. But no, they just don't. They don't think. So a lot of their comic relief lines are things like, purple orcs are invisible. Have you ever seen a purple orc before? They dye their ships and things like that red because red goes faster. Blue is lucky. YOLO is rich and splody, meaning like explody. Black is tough. And green is, of course, the best because they're, you know, their currency is teeth. But again, I love them so much. They're so silly. They're really fun. Unfortunately or fortunately, they are often used as like comic relief. And I think their armies are some of the most fun ones to look at, right?
Yeah.
Like look at the little Def Kopta.
Kopta.
How cute are they?
Def Kopta.
Def Kopta.
They're so fun. I like the concept.
I know.
I think it's so funny to think like that they just don't know anything so that they can do anything. You know, like they don't know that they can't breathe in space, so they breathe in space because.
Yeah, exactly.
They defy their logic.
They are kind of like the strongest mages in the universe, allegedly, but they just don't know it. And I love that about them, where they're kind of this like comic relief, but they're also really strong. And again, if ever you read them in the books or anything, they're always so fun. Like they just put a smile on your face because everything they write is with those like Z's and everything. And it's just, it's fun.
So the Kroarks, were they like so powerful? Like were they also the powerful psykers or was it like?
That I'm not sure about because there's not much that we know about the Kroarks. Some people have said that the Kroarks might be coming back or things like that. But from what we know is just they devolved into the orcs eventually.
Okay.
So we don't know how organized, well, at least I don't know how organized the Kroarks were and what their stuff was looking like. Because as you'll see, a lot of this, basically 65 million years ago, you only really have the Eldari, the Kroarks, and the Necrons. Yeah. Everything else kind of happens in the present. But so far, right, we got to two factions. How cool do they look? Right?
They're so cute. I like the Necrons.
Also, me too. They're my boys. Also, I was told by both Ricky and DK, I kept writing orcs with a C because, but no, people in the Warhammer universe hate that. You have to write orcs with a K.
Ooh. Oh, I see another one. You wrote orcs with a C here.
Shut up.
I'm pointing it out. I screenshot it.
Also, I forgot to say it. A big shout out to both Bricky and DK from the Adeptus Ridiculous podcast, because while I was kind of putting this list together, they helped me put in a few things. I did tell them I don't want to get too in-depth. This is very much a beginner's guide. So if you ever want to know more about Warhammer, they actually have a little podcast where they talk about a lot of different parts of Warhammer and getting into Warhammer, et cetera.
That's definitely a series that is... I think because their IP, you said it earlier, they allow people to use it or whatever.
Yes.
It becomes extremely intimidating because, like you said, you're like, you might have played a Warhammer game and you don't even realize it. It's just like, where do you even start? Where would you suggest someone starts if they want to, like, just get into, like for example, me.
Yeah.
If I wasn't talking to you right now about... like the history and everything, where do you think I should begin?
I think you should begin, if you want to read a book or listen to an audiobook, I think you should start with The Infinite and the Divine, which is the book that I was reading like 2 years ago in the summer. Remember when we took a trip together?
Yeah.
Basically, it is about these two guys, Oricon the Diviner and Trazin the Infinite. These two Necron guys that have a feud together for like tens of thousands of years. They're just enemies, and then they become frenemies, and then they're enemies again, and they just like put pranks on each other, and then they have to team up for something. It's really, really funny, and it does a really good job at kind of explaining a little bit of the lore. I think the Caiaphas Kane, which is spelled like, hold on, let me write that at the top, Caiaphas Kane books, it's a trilogy. I think those are really, really good for kind of teaching you a little bit about the world. Otherwise, I think you could start with some of the games. If you like tactics games, I really like Mechanicus. Darktide doesn't really give you a lot of lore, but I think just looking into the games will be a good start, and looking into the books. And again, there's a lot of content. Sorry to shout out Bricky here for helping me, but I also started by watching, Bricky did a video, it was something like All Factions Explained or The Timeline Explained, which again, it is a very basic overview, but it kind of gets you going and kind of lets you understand where they are. So also check out Bricky's videos. He's gonna love the free promo. You're welcome, Bricky.
Yeah, because I think one of the most intimidating things into getting to a series like this is just like the terminology, you know, like one of the hardest things I think about like a kind of series, and most intimidating in my opinion, is like you go into a series and it's just like, so the Emperor and then the Eldari and they did this and then the Catan and this, and you're like, what the hell does that even mean?
This is why, like, so, I know once I do this, even if we call it beginner to Warhammer, there's going to be comments being like, Matara didn't talk about this.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Already, like, even when I was writing this, I was writing the word psyker and I was saying magician, and people were saying it's a psyker. I'm like, yes, I know, but I'm explaining this to somebody who doesn't know Warhammer.
I know, if zero, I just go literally the psyker,
if I'm like, oh, the psyker takes power from the warp, and you're like, what?
What is a psyker?
Girl.
Well, where does that
exactly? What is the warp? We're getting there. Okay. So the Eldari.
Yes.
So remember, the old ones, once they were having the war with the Necron, created another race called the Eldari, which are basically space elves with magic. Okay. So let me explain. After the war, the Necrons were weakened, obviously, because they fought the old ones, and then they also started fighting the Catan. And the thing with the Necrons is they were weakened, and then the Eldari were on the rise, and the Kroorks, and they basically foresaw, because they have really powerful mages as well, they foresaw that the Eldari were going to rise and dominate space for like 60 million years. That's a long time. While they were weakened. But then they also foresaw their fall. So the Necrons did, and this is why I love them so much. They said, you know what? I am not going to match their freak. They went to sleep. They basically put all of their civilization, 99% of them, in a sleep. And they kept a few of their kind of top people to eventually reawaken their toes. Stop! I'm obsessed with toes. They basically assign a few of their top people to eventually reawaken the Necrons when the time comes. But it is important to note, they foresaw the rise of the Eldari and the fall of the Eldari.
Okay. So I have a question. Did the Necrons do they did this war all by themselves? Why weren't the Eldari or the Kroks helping out?
Because by the time they got formed, the war in heaven is a whole really long chapter in itself. Mm. They got created while the war was happening, but they're still a baby kind of civilization, baby race. There's only so much you can do, right?
Okay.
But what was important is that the Necrons went to sleep and they were the big player in the galaxies. And after they went to sleep, suddenly the Eldari is out here. Mm-hmm. They're space elves with magic and nobody's really there to challenge them. They were incredibly, incredibly strong mages or psykers. Mm. And they conquered everything. Mm. Just so we're clear, they had no opposition. They basically roamed around. They're very much modeled after the... So if the Necrons are modeled after ancient Egypt, right? Even with like the way they look, there's a lot of scarabs. There's a lot of things like that. They went to sleep. They have tombs. The Eldari was probably kind of... So some Eldari units, if you look down, they're a little bit like space shinobi, right?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of their empire was very much modeled after the Roman Empire.
Okay.
Because... What did they start doing after they conquered everything? They started partying.
Ooh la la.
Harder. What does an empire do when it's at its height? Appease the citizens, right?
Yeah.
How do you appease citizens? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. They indulge in pleasure of every single form. Nobody was matching their freak. Torture, SEX, gluttony. Wow. Now remember... I made a point to mention.
You censored yourself there, but you didn't earlier.
So this is the fun part. Uh-huh. Remember previously I told you when the old ones were fighting the Necrons that like there was a lot of energy brewing in the air, right? There was a lot of delicious energy kind of going around.
Okay.
And where did that energy go? It had to go somewhere.
I ate it.
I am going to give you a little tease on something called the Chaos Gods. Yippee! We're
going to
touch on that later. But basically, while these guys are looting, tooting, shooting, having non-consensual relations, what is it called? Flaying people alive.
Yeah!
Any kind of, you know, pleasure, excess, everything.
Uh-huh.
If you think about it, they're releasing a lot of kind of energy and a lot of that. So think about their karma.
Okay.
As the TikTok kids would say, they fucked around and they found out. So they accidentally or purposely released so much of this kind of energy, whatever, into the air that they started creating a new chaos god.
Oh.
I'll give you a very quick like... We're going to bounce around back to this, but I'm going to give you a little quick like recap of this. The day that Slaanesh, the Prince of Darkness, she who thirsts, I know that it, like any pronoun works, but the Prince of Darkness, she who thirsts was created. They basically had a soul claim on every single Eldari. So
is that the Chaos
Gods? Slaanesh.
Okay.
We'll get there in a bit. Don't worry. I know it's kind of confusing, but I have to add the other ones.
Okay.
The day that Slaanesh was born, something like 90% of the Eldari was exterminated by Slaanesh immediately.
Oh.
Because they basically birthed Slaanesh due to their excess, due to their everything. So this was what the Necrons foresaw as them getting... as them getting destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to move down a little bit. The Tau. The Tau, if you take a look at some of the stuff from the tabletop perspective, I feel like the Tau was very much made for people who like Macross and Gundams, right? Because this is still a tabletop game that's trying to sell units. And if you take a look at some of their stuff, it very much looks, right? Very Gundam-esque.
Oh, I was going to say some of their ships look more like Star Wars.
Maybe a little bit, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Mm.
They kind of look, I don't have any photos of them now, but if you look them up, they kind of look like little blue fish people.
The Tau
Empire. Okay. So the TLDR on them is they got caught in a local warp storm. So I'll talk to you about the warp in a little bit, okay. Meaning that they were isolated from everybody. When we first see them, they are basically cave people. When we next see them, they are
this
already spacefaring. Yeah.
Okay.
They had huge technological advancement during this time. Ooh. They went from Stone Age to Gundams. And okay. So the thing with the Tau Empire is a lot of people hate them, but they're also quote unquote one of the better guys of the Empire in the sense that anyone can join them. But you will be brainwashed. And I used to think that they castrated you. But then yesterday, DK and Bricky told me they don't. So now I don't know what to think anymore.
Let me know in the comments below. If you join a cult, I bet they castrate you. So that's probably what the Tau people do.
No. I genuinely had heard this information that they castrate basically because you can join them, but they don't want other like folks to be reproducing, right?
I think you're projecting.
Can you let me know in the comments below?
I think this is what they do to momos. I think this
leave my momos out of it.
I think you're projecting your kind a little bit onto these guys. I think you're mixing up your stories.
Stop. But the Tau are pretty fun. A lot of people don't like them because it's basically your typical, like, if you don't join us, you die. You gotta join us. As you can tell, they're cool, but they're not. You know, they're not my most interesting people.
I feel like I don't know what the warp storm is, but I feel like they just came out of nowhere.
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get to the warp. I know. It's a lot. I told you were going to have to. And then just because I have to mention one of the newest kind of, again, when I say newest races, they were there the whole time. It's just that they weren't really covered in books and things like that. Uh-huh. But something like a year and a half ago, the Leagues of Votan came out. Mm-hmm. Technologically advanced space dwarves.
Ooh.
Think of like corporate space dwarfs like Deep Rock Galactic, right?
Okay.
You can open the link. They're little boys. They got their little guns. They got the little stuff, their little swords. They look great.
Yeah.
Nothing to complain about.
I like their look.
Me too. I can't wait to learn more about them. Mm. Now, my second favorite boys, which the only reason that they're my second favorite boys and not my favorite boys is because the Necrons have so much lore.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tyranids kind of don't. So the Tyranids, yippee! Okay, look at the pictures I added below. Do they remind you of anybody? Do they look like anybody you know?
I don't know. I think anybody that let I know me, that looks like that.
Let me. So.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Let me send you this guy.
Okay.
I'll send him in the. What do you think the Hive Tyrant looks like? Does it look like anyone you know?
I think I can smell this picture.
Go on. What does it smell like?
Stinky. someone who just got sick. Someone who goes. I think I would want to kill this race.
Kiss them.
No. Wow. Sorry, different K word.
Well, all right. Listen, a lot of people will say that they are allegedly the biggest galactic menace. They consume everything in their path. A lot of people speculate that they actually have already surrounded us.
Oh.
Because they keep popping up from every, like they pop up from different sides of the galaxy.
Oh.
They eat everything. They're the ultimate predators. They just consume everything is prey and they will keep going until everything is extinct. They feed to survive. This is also why there's not that much lore about them or that much that we know. It's just that they're an outer galactic threat that came in. They're here to kill and eat and devour. And to that I say, they're just hungry little guys. They're just little hungry guys who just want to eat.
I mean, everybody wants to eat.
Yeah. Everybody's just a hungry little guy.
Everybody's eating. You know, I ate today. Did you eat?
I did.
Yeah.
So I think the Tyranids are just a little bit misunderstood. They're just hungry little guys. And I think they're lovely.
I can see why you would say that about them.
Mm-hmm. I love them very much.
Again, I think that I think they really look annoying. I think that they look like they don't shut up. The one you sent, the last picture looks
Hive
like
Tyrant.
No, not Hive yes. Tyrant. The one.
Oh,
in,
the on last the, one.
Mm-hmm. The one with the blue background. It mm-hmm. looks like Lovecraftian.
A little bit. They definitely. So this is not a rumor. But initially, because you know how GW, I told you that they licensed their IPs. Initially, StarCraft. Yeah.
Sorry, that's Metal Gear.
What?
GW is
Games
Metal
Workshop.
Gear.
Games Workshop. GW.
George Washington.
Oh. President Spears. I know it's Sears, but.
President Spears.
Spear. I call him Spears because it's funny.
Metal Gear will be next week, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. The brain rot is real.
Yeah.
So initially, StarCraft was going to be a Games Workshop game or a Warhammer game, but it ended up not being, which is why you see a lot of similarities. Like if you look at that picture, they basically look like overlords from StarCraft.
I've never played StarCraft.
Okay,
but I
look
believe
up
you.
StarCraft Overlord. No, for real. Look it up. Craft. It looks the same.
I don't believe you, Overlord. Oh, yeah.
You see? Yeah.
They got like a little bulbous going on, a little brainy action. Jimmy Neutron. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now we're getting to a little bit more fun part. You're still sticking with me, right? You're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
How about you, everybody listening? Are you good?
They're great.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. I decide for them. So remember when I talked about chaos, et cetera, et cetera? So nobody really knows where the chaos gods came from, how long they've been around. Some people speculate that they were maybe created during when the Necrons were fighting the old ones because of just how much, I don't know how to call it, energy was in the air. Others speculate that they grew to power during that time because the old ones before that were kind of the ruling guys. There are four at the moment, with the latest one being Slaanesh that I told you about. But I'm going to tell you about them. So they get power from, I don't want to say the humans, but let's say the races, from emotions of the soul.
Okay.
These can be positive emotions, by the way. Mm. So we're going to start. Have you ever heard the phrase, blood for the blood god, skulls for the skull throne?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a Warhammer quote. Yeah.
What?
So the first guy is called Khorne.
Khorne.
Look at the picture.
I
yeah.
Love that's
right. The cornflakes. Take a look at him.
Yeah, I'm looking at him.
He looks like your typical.
Is that what your question was?
You're so basic. You're a typical red devil looking guy with horns. Like he looks like every Diablo devil ever.
Evil.
His whole thing.
Evil.
I hate you so much. My coffee's kicking in. His whole thing is honor, right? He'll stab you in the front. Think honor, war, Ares, honorable combat, duel, any kind of physical martial prowess, violence, competition, conflict, the grind set. He hates magic, so he hates psychers. He considers magic and psychers like cheating.
He's just like, big muscle man. No.
Honestly, and I know I'm going to make a lot of enemies because he is the most basic chaos god, right? Like, I get it. His armies just look like little devils. I get it. I also love the whole Satanist vibes, allegedly. But like, we've seen this in other games before, right?
Sure.
So I don't love it. I also think the whole honor, war, competition, honor again. It's just not my vibe,
She hates honor, you guys.
I do.
I have a question real quick. Did the Necrons, the Necros?
The Necrons.
The Necrons. Did they defeat the old guys?
Most of them, yes. They defeated pretty much like most of them.
Okay.
So but this is where,
while
also,
they were
fun
defeating
fact,
them, the Chaos Gods were like, yeah, yum, 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 yum.
Basically, the Chaos Gods grew in power significantly. Number one, because now there was a vacuum in power because the old ones were gone, most of them. Number two, if they weren't born at this moment, then they for sure grew in power at this moment.
Okay. And where are the Catans in this?
They also are like in hiding because most of them have been. Okay. These are like, I'm telling you about the old gods, right?
Yeah.
So next one is my second favorite of the gods, Finch or Uncle Finch. T.
Uncle
if you
T.
look up Uncle T, he's got a lot of birds, a lot of feathers, a lot of eyes. And if you take a look at some of his units after I added Lord of Change and Kairos Fate Weaver, so he is the god of change, of hope. A lot of blue and purple coloring, which looks amazing. A lot of eyes, a lot of mouths, a lot of birds and feathers. He's the trickster and the deceiver. Change can be for the better, right? He is one of the only ones who actively pranks his followers. Very monkey paw coded, where he'll give you something and then you basically pay the consequences. We'll talk about the warp in the future, but basically psychers or magicians, they gain abilities from this like kind of parallel universe. And some, for example, Korn will not really talk to them in their head and try to get them to join him. But Tsinch would. Mm. Most likely, if you're hearing voices in your head, it's most likely Tsinch. Most likely. Like 80% of the time it's going to be him.
Take my meds.
Yeah, take your meds, girl. but he gains his power from change, hope, trickery, schemes, knowledge, sorcery, or magic / the arcane. Schemes. He's a schemer. He's a schemer and a deceiver, right?
So if someone's just like, I'm scheming up this thing, this guy over here is like, oh, yeah. Wait, so I'm confused why there's three different versions of him.
No. The first one that I linked you the picture, that's him. The Lord of Change is one of his units that you can summon, or like not summon, but that you can play in the battlefield. And same thing for Kairos, the Faith Weaver.
Oh, okay. So the birdie people are his units. Okay.
Basically, if you see something with blue purple coloring, a lot of eyes, a lot of mouths, a lot of feathers, birds, it's typically him.
Okay. I like
but
the
he
eyes
is
on
basically. Yeah, right? He looks really, really cool.
Looks like, have you seen Pan's Labyrinth?
No.
Oh, there's a monster that looks, well, not like that, but he has the eyes on the hand.
Pan's Labyrinth?
It's creepy. Hold on.
Oh, I've seen this photo before. Ooh, yeah, that is very creepy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, is it a scary movie?
No, it's actually not scary. It's really good. I like it a lot. Yeah, I think this is probably the creepiest part of it. Because, you know, the monster's freaky, but everything else is like, is cool. It's really fascinating.
Are you ready for my favorite chaos god?
Yes.
A lot of people think it's Lanesh because we have similar coloring, but it's actually, he's not a real grandfather, but we like to call him Grandpa Nurgle. Look at him. Look at him. The great unclean one, Lord of Pestilence, Decay, Despair, Disease, Infection, but also renewal, acceptance, and cycles of life.
Are you sure this guy doesn't resemble you the most?
I am going to strangle you and you. So anytime people are sick or they get COVID or anything, we like to say you got Papa Nurgle's blessing. I will strangle you next time I see you and you won't derive any pleasure from it.
Good luck getting your hands through my neck, you know?
I will do the little Luigi vacuum suck on you.
No!
So, I know a lot of people when they see decay, despair, disease, infection, they think very negatively. But the positive of that is also, you know, think about plants will die and then worms will eat them and it fertilizes the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the cycle of life. His units are extremely bug-looking, stinky, and bloated.
Oh.
So if you open his Primarch, Mortarion, how amazing does he look?
Yeah, he doesn't look bloated or anything. He looks so awesome.
But if you look at the plague drones later, the next photo that I linked, I think you have to copy paste it. Okay. You see what I mean about the bloat and the rot and the kind of like, they kind of look diseased.
Hold on, I'm going to it. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it.
You see it, right?
Yeah.
So the thing with him, he draws his power from people being sick, from people passing away from sickness, doctors curing disease, acceptance of death, praying for safety and health, comforting, nurturing the sick. So if you become a follower of Nurgle, at first you will really, really suffer. Because if you look like the people, right, like you can see like their insides are popping out.
Yeah,
they're rotting from the inside. But after a while, they don't feel pain.
Okay.
They do suffer a lot, but after a while, they don't feel pain.
Okay.
But that's why he's my favorite god. I just
How long is a while? Like, yeah. How long am I having to wait?
Well, you know, I did say, you know, I did casually say 65 million years ago. So,
you know, could he speed it up a little, you know?
Yeah. But he is my favorite. I just love that he's kind of, I love this whole kind of acceptance of death, acceptance of things, like just accepting your faith. Still, Tsinch is easily my second favorite just because of the color scheme and the trickery and everything. But this is where we get to Slaanesh, who I just told you about,
right?
So these three existed for a really long time. Uh-huh. Slaanesh, I think according to my timeline, was only beginning to be birthed at 25. So if right now we're at the present is 40,000 years, right? Slaanesh was trying to be birthed at 25,000 years, so 25K. Okay. So, Prince of Darkness, She Who Thirsts, Prince of Pleasure, Lord of Unspeakable Excess, the youngest god, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, lust, greed, excess, pain, pleasure, hedonism, pursuit of perfection. Now, considered extremely powerful due to being able to draw power from many sources. And I made this joke to DK and Bricky where I was like, they're basically a trust fund baby chaos god. They're a nepotism chaos god.
Ooh.
Because while these other chaos gods had to draw their power slowly through 65 million years plus, Slaanesh got birthed and basically got... Slaanesh is the landlord of billions of Eldari souls that they basically just woke up one day, inherited a whole race of people and got to eat all of most of them. Yeah.
Okay.
They're the landlord and like every Eldari owes them rent.
Ooh, okay.
Now, something I didn't really touch upon, but I, you know, for example, the Eldari, right? That's kind of the overview of the race. But in the Eldari, there's also like little subsets. For example, the Drukhari, the Harlequins. I know about those. We're not going to get into all of those.
Okay.
Right now, the way it looks is like 90% of the Eldari, 99 of them are not alive.
Oh.
They're not doing so good. The ones who are alive are typically the ones who kind of escaped on craft worlds or some of the Harlequins that are being protected by another god. But they're not doing too good. Now take a look at what Slaanesh looks like, right?
Oh, she's hot.
Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of folks were saying, oh, are you sure, Matara? You don't love Slaanesh? My problem with Slaanesh in Warhammer 40K is that in Warhammer 40K, let me show you. I think Slaanesh's units in Warhammer 40K suck.
Oh.
I think Slaanesh's units in Warhammer 40K look really silly and not that great. But then I'll show you Slaanesh's units in the let me show you. Like they look all right, but they basically look like sexy crabs, right?
Sexy
which is fine.
Crabs.
Yeah.
Take a look at this. You're actually selling it. What are you talking
the
about?
The demonettes of Slaanesh. They look like sexy crabs, right? They're fine.
But they look
like ghoulish sexy crabs, right?
Like mer people, like, you know, like accurate.
Kind of.
You know.
But let me show you this right here. This is from Age of Sigmar. Take a look at this picture right there that I just linked.
Yeah.
Look at the harp.
I was just looking at that earlier.
It's a human flesh harp. How freaking cool
Infernal
is that?
Infernal and rapturous.
Right? Wow. It's a flesh harp.
That's
they have flesh chairs. They have flesh everything. I just feel, and I've talked about it before, and I know typically like you could use some of these units in 40K, but I just feel like Dexessa, the Talon of Slaanesh, doesn't this look like something from, there was a movie like this, no?
The
Mistress something of the damned?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I think, yes, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Queen of the Damned,
yeah, yeah.
Wow, it looks so Queen of the Damned coated and like, wow.
Wow.
And then my favorite thing that is not in the 40K universe are these BDSM, what are they called? What's the male of a cow? Bulls.
Uh-huh.
The Slangor Fiendbloods. Look at them. They got masks.
Oh my God.
They're covering their genitalia. They got crab claws. They're kinky as hell. 40K.
The Minotaur milking farm?
This is, we're going back to episode one, Minotaur milking farm.
We really are.
This, I would be so much more into Slaanesh in 40K if her armies in 40K looked like BDSM bulls with gimp masks. And loincloths.
I can't get abs.
Look at their abs.
I can't get over this one because it looks like his eyes are popping out of his head. Like, his eyes are going different directions. It's just like, we don't talk to Slangy over there. He's like,
do you see what I mean though? Like, they look so cool in Age of Sigmar. And I know technically some of the, basically in the tabletop, you can kind of combine some of the units, but you know, I'm getting into it also to play the tabletop one day. So for example, for me, I love the colors green, pink, purple, blue. So that's kind of putting me in Nurgle and Siege.
I have a question.
Territory. Yes.
You may not
use the restroom.
Oh no, that wasn't the question. Oh, never mind. I answered my own question. I was going to ask if these are pre-painted, but do any of them come pre-painted ever? Or?
No, you have to paint them.
And I've noticed.
But you can also hire people to paint them,
they're
right?
They're like pretty expensive. So like,
don't say that.
I was just going to say, if I were to get in, like how, what's like, like a beginner amount that you like, what's the minimum amount you feel like you have to pay to get it? I'm just curious.
Don't ask this. Don't ask this. Don't ask this question out loud. Don't say it out loud.
Oh, is it like an unspoken rule?
People call it plastic crack.
I mean, I pay for anime figures. It's the same thing. I love paying for plastic.
It is expensive. Yeah, I know. It is expensive. So the thing is, right now for me, I have a lot of figures, but I haven't painted them yet and I haven't put them together. Mm. So I've just kind of been buying what I think looks cool. So for example, I own this Drukhari warship, which again, Drukhari is basically a subdivision of the Eldari. Let me show it for you.
Okay.
I own this Drukhari warship. Hold on.
Oh my God.
Drukhari.
Sorry if you hear, there's a storm coming.
It's okay. So I'm going to send you the whole combat patrol, which is like the whole units. But I have the ship that is behind it. I have the ship with the white sail that I want to put together. How cool does it look? Right?
Whoa.
And then I have, hold on. Let me see. Okay, I got this little guy. I got the Christmas Gitz from Age of Sigmar. Just because he looks so cute. Hold on. Christmas gift. Yeah, you know, sometimes when they do the Christmas stuff, I'm like, this is really cute. I want it. So I got this little guy.
Uh-huh.
I have, what is it?
Get your hands off my prezzies.
Yeah. Hold on, one second.
She's grabbing.
I have a starter painting kit for Tyranids. They're the Terma, Gantz, and Ripper Swarm Plus Paints. Hold on. Terma, Gantz, and Ripper Swarm Plus Paints.
I'm going to have to like go back. I like have some painting like TikToks that I've saved just because I was getting into it at one point. I was like, this is so fascinating, and just like watching them. I'm going to have to go back and see if they were Warhammer characters.
Yeah, you have to. It would be like, I'm telling you, I think you'd have a really, really good time. Mm. And then I got this guy, Horticulus Slimax. I also have these. I went to a thrift shop, not a thrift shop, kind of like a mom and pop shop. Mm-hmm. And I found these. Look at him. Look at Horticulus Slimax. Look at him.
Oh, wait.
How cute is he?
I can't open it because it says.
Oh, you can't open the store?
It says I need an account to open.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Hold on. Let me send you.
This content is protected. Log in with your customer account to continue.
Here.
Wow. Oh, there we go. Thank you.
Look at him. It's a little guy on a little snail.
I like the guy. I like his.
What about the snail?
The snail.
Do you like the snail?
Oh,
But this is, again, this is Age of Sigmar. So this is like not 40K. A lot of the stuff I really like is actually not 40. I love the lore of 40K more, but I love the minis of Age of Sigmar more. And I'll show you more Age of Sigmar minis at the end because we got to keep going.
Where does Age of Sigmar fall in? Like, is it?
It's kind of a weirdly parallel universe because they share the same god.
Okay.
And I've showed you before this one girl. She is so Metal Gear coded.
I do remember you showing me someone.
Yeah, she's an assassin. So she is, let me find her.
I'm like going on a webpage and spinning the little figures around.
Isn't it fun? Anything that looks good?
I'm spinning around the Slimex right now. There's so much detail on these. Like,
I know.
You know, it is expensive, but like the detail on them is insane.
But they are very small. Like whatever you think they are, she's the Calidus assassin. Whatever you think they are, they're smaller than that.
Oh, really?
I've said this before and I've sent you this exact picture. I think the Calidus assassin, some of her older art is so Metal Gear quoted. I think some of her older art, especially right here, it looks like it could be a Metal Gear boss, Metal Gear Solid boss.
I think I get it.
You get it, right?
I think I get it. I think it's like, I feel
especially like this photo right here. Sorry, the second photo I'm posting. So much. It's like the same coloring, the same everything.
It feels like a mix between like a Metal Gear Solid 1 boss, a Metal Gear 1 boss and a Metal Gear 5 boss, which is so weird. Like, I'm not talking Metal Gear Solid 1, but like
no,
Metal
I get
Gear 1 or what, Metal Gear 2 and then also Metal Gear Solid, because it's kind of given like the skulls a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
All right, back to where we're at.
Don't Google those guys. You'll get some deviant art. Goodness.
yeah. So right now, this is where we're at. So fourth god is birthed into the Nepo baby, you know, trust fund of power, where they just got birthed, but they already are so powerful, pretty much toe to toe with the other chaos gods. And now, let me get very quickly to the humans before I get into a very quick timeline so that you understand what happened. So humans, you'll see in a bit, they went through a dark age of technology where they made Men of Iron, which were basically these big AI robots. The Men of Iron rebelled against the humans really, really bad. So after this, the humans were like, you know what? No more AI. We are done with AI.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think their solution was?
I don't know.
Take a look at this little guy called a servo skull.
Servo skull?
Servo skull.
Oh, that's
right. Cute.
So they put the AI in the skulls?
There's no more AI.
Oh.
Take a look at this little guy. That's called a servitor that does basically all the main tasks of everything.
Okay, they just made dead slaves?
They just put human brains into computers. Yippee!
Oh!
Yeah, yippee! Oh. They put little human brains into everything. Servitors, servo skulls. They even put human brains in doors for them to open. Huh? One of my favorite, actually, we're going to talk about that in a bit. But basically, the humans had this like weirdness with technology that they basically said no more AI. And now a lot of their stuff is, again,
human powered.
It's literally man powered, you know.
Okay. Where do they get all these brains from?
I know, it's a little grimy. Where do they got all these brains from? From their own people.
Oh.
Yeah.
They couldn't open their own doors?
criminals, from defectors, from,
That's a good thing you're not a human then. You'd be made into a door.
I'd be made. It's fine that I'm a tyrannid. I can just eat all day. Yeah. I'm a legally distinct tyrannid. Very quickly, the humans have obviously a lot of different chapters. The first girl that I showed you, the Calidus assassin, she's part of this... hold on, I forget what it's called. But it's basically... The way it was described to me was like Hogwarts.
Okay.
Where it's like... Officio Assassinorum is basically this, like, think of like the CIA, and they have different, they have like four different.
Among Us Assassium?
Exactly.
Okay.
So they have that, which I love them, but two like kind of sub factions of humans that I really like, which we'll talk about in the timeline, the Sisters of Battle or the Adeptus Sororitas or the Nuns with Guns. Okay. Take a look at their photo. TLDR. We'll talk about it later, but basically they were created because there was something that was said that no man has the right to bear arms in the church. So the church was like, bet.
You know?
The only problem is, do you know who Ongo Gablongian is?
Oingo Boingo?
Look up Ongo Gablongian.
Ongo Boingo. I'm looking. Oh, sorry.
The problem is their haircut looks a lot like Ongo Gablongian. When you have all of these ladies on the tabletop, they all have that haircut.
He looks like the Edna Mode from.
Exactly. Do you see it now that I've showed you this?
Wait, what am I? What's the cherubs look like? Oh, no. People.
The sisters of battle all have that haircut.
They do. They all have.
So they all look very Ongo Gablongian.
Wait. Matara, it looks like me. That's my first, my 1.0 is that haircut.
Can we get a photo?
No, that's me. Hold on. That's it.
Sorry, I'm like squeal laughing because it's so funny.
That's just me. Hold on, I'm going to send a picture of me with a gun.
Please, I want to see that.
I'm Oingo Baboingian.
You're Oingo Baboingian. You're Bloingy Gabloingian. That is so funny. That is actually you. One of my favorite pieces of lore that got reworked. Do you see those little angelic babies?
Yeah.
They're called cherubs.
Yeah.
Initially, they were babies that basically got lobotomized and turned into, they basically bring you like ammunition on the field of battle. But then GW was like, no. We never said, yeah, George Washington. George Washington was like, no. They were always clones. They were always made as like vat babies and like they were never real, but they were real.
Wait,
they were real.
They made the cherubs like out of actual babies?
Yeah. In the past, in the lore, and they like retconned it.
Oh, were they like? Because
they were like,
"Oh,
this is a little dark."
Oh, cowards! What the
heck? Cowards!
But you can still get the little cherubs, like, or do they?
Yeah, because now they claim that the cherubs are made like in a vat. They're clones.
Oh,
they don't, you know,
okay.
They're just clones of other cherubs and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, really cool. Like, I really like how a lot of this kind of neo-gothic Christian stuff looks like. So a lot of the Sisters of Battle have this very kind of religious look to it, but it's also very war. Mm. So for example, there's like a whole cathedral. You could go to war in the tabletop. Let me find it. There's like, a whole cathedral.
Matara, that it's you called just Warhammer. Bring. Of course you go to war.
But they have a lot of angels and things like that. And there's like one unit where like they just have a Bible in the front strapped to them. Like, look at this girl. It's called Dialogus. And like, she's out here preaching the word of God, right? Like she's out here. Good for her.
Dialogus.
She's doing her best.
Oh my goodness. She's really out there preaching.
She's preaching.
She's got the book on her head. The book on her back, the book on her in her hands, the book on her staff. She's printing the book as we speak.
But yeah, I just love them because they're so badass. They're really, really cool. And then another one that I really, really like, which, you know, we're not going to go into them because just talking about both the Sisters of Battle and the Cult Mechanicus is going to take forever. But Cult Mechanicus, Adeptus Mechanicus, or the Priesthood of Mars, if you open the link, they are so cool. They're basically humans that like genetically enhance themselves.
Adeptus Mechanicus.
they're in. What's so funny? Just, why are you laughing?
Because it's just like, it's like, we're adapting. Adeptus. We're mechanical. Mechanicus.
What about Adeptus Sororitas?
They're thoraxing.
Also, previously, what I was saying for that, like, you bring a whole cathedral to battle. Sorry to like previously jump back to the sisters. Look at the Triumph of St. Catherine. You're bringing this. This is one unit that you're bringing to your war on the tabletop.
Oh my God.
They're bringing a guy in a casket to war. So how cool is that?
I have a question. When you're like playing yes. these in the game, like rather like in the tabletop, mm-hmm. like do you only have one Triumph of St. Catherine or is it
usually the bigger units? Yes. You usually only, because you have a certain amount of points. Oh, so the bigger units, you can usually only have one.
Oh, okay.
But then for example, like your small units, you can have a lot of them. Your medium units, maybe like 1 to 3. But okay, yeah, usually these big units, like usually these big units, you'll build your whole army around them.
Mm.
That's kind of like your trump card, right?
Okay.
But yeah, how crazy is it? Like, there's a guy in a casket that's being brought to freaking war.
What's he gonna do? What is he gonna do?
Die again?
He's sleeping on him.
Right? Like, okay, so basically the whole point of this is a buffer. So this would buff your other units on your battlefield. Right. But it's kind of fun. Like, I love it. I love it so much. But sorry,
the
back to the
hilarious.
Right. Back to the Adeptus Mechanicus where yes. like, okay, look at this guy. This guy was like, I'm a sniper, but I'm short. You know what I'm going to do? Give myself long ass legs.
No, it's not that he's short. He has no legs.
He legs replaced them with stilts.
He was just like, I have no legs. I guess I better make myself the tallest person in the world.
I love them. Sidonian, and I think the reason Scatrus? That I love... What?
That's his name.
Sidonian Scatrus, yes.
Scatrus.
He's the scat man. Beedy, 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 boo. Look at him. Look at
Can
this chunky little guy.
Can you imagine him like dancing to that with his stilt legs?
Look at Tech Priest Manipulus. He's manipulating. Look at his little arms together. He's making the Naruto.
Oh my God, he really is. Like Jujutsu. They just took these words and are just like, what if we kind of made it Latin? Manipulus.
Manipulus. Because he's manipulating.
He's got like a big foot coming out of. What is up with this guy?
I love that he just has a big metal belly.
Yeah, he does.
Anyway, I think one of the reasons I really love the Adeptus Mechanicus uh-huh. or the Tech Priests of Mars is because when I first got into Warhammer 40K, I initially read their lore. And their lore is also kind of complicated because they believe in the machine god. But then there's also like, we'll get to it. It is so confusing. Trust me, even I am so confused and I'm taking this one step at a time. Uh-huh. And then I played a game called Mechanicus, which is a tactics game. And I just got to experience the units. They're amazing. Love them so much. Okay. Now,
uh-huh.
we're almost done. Well.
Oh, okay.
Let me very quickly backtrack to the timeline, right? If you remember 65 million years, 60 million years, and then nothing was happening, right? Mm-hmm. If you remember, the Necrons went to sleep. They went honk, shoo, me, 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 me. The Eldari rose and they started, you know.
Going crazy.
Effing and sucking and all the stuff.
Wait, why are we sucking?
What do you mean, why are we sucking? The Eldari were sucking each other a lot. Orgies.
I think they were
excess
winning.
Parties.
They weren't sucking.
Well, they were sucking each other. Oh. What are you confused about? All right. So let's backtrack into kind of more present time. So 40K is the present. Let's go back into 15K.
Okay.
From 15K to 25K, it is the dark age of technology, which is kind of weird. It sounds like it's a bad thing, but it's actually the golden age for humanity. It is super great tech times for humanity. That's when they created those AI robots that I told you about, the Men of Iron.
Is that so great though?
Well, until they, you know, rebelled. Yeah. From 20,000 to 25K, the humans spread through the galaxy and kind of everywhere. Now, at 25K is roughly when Slaanesh was starting to be birthed. So clearly stuff was happening in the galaxy. Things were weird. It wasn't good. And then at 29K is when Slaanesh got birthed. That is when the Eldari went suddenly extinct, you can say. So suddenly there's again a whole new vacuum of power in the a whole new vacuum in the galaxy where now there was no more Necrons, right? Uh-huh. But now there's also no more Eldari. Like, right. What is going on? There's just nothing. So at 29K is the Imperium of Man Unification Wars. So fun fact, remember the old ones, right?
Yeah, I remember those guys.
Randomly at 29K, this giant, sexy hunk of a guy shows up. We call him Big E, but he is the emperor of mankind. And like at 30K, this guy was sexy. Like, look at him glistening with this gold, all that stuff.
Oh.
Spoiler alert, this is what he looks like 10,000 years later. This is what he looks like in present time. But during 30K, this guy shows up. He's taller than everybody, hotter than everybody, has been living for thousands of years, allegedly.
Okay.
And he is just strong, okay? There is speculation. Some people think that he might be one of the old ones. There is speculation that he might be a god or he's going to become a chaos god, whatever. So this guy shows up. Suddenly, no more Eldari. What does he do? He grabs, because right now the Imperium of Man isn't there. It's just kind of humans doing little human stuff. He comes around and just grabs the humans by the balls. You got me, girl. And they do the Imperium of Man Unification Wars. Okay. So what does he do after that? He basically takes his genetic material and makes 20 sons or Primarchs. Sorry? Les enfants terribles. You're so Metal Gear brain rotted.
It's the son of Big E.
George, President Spears is quaking. You're so Metal Gear brain rotted. I can't.
That's how I understand world now.
No, you are amazing. So what does he do then after he unites everything, right? Mm-hmm. He's just one guy, right? He's the biggest guy ever. He's gigantic. But he then takes his genetic material and he creates 20 sons, which are called the Primarchs, okay? Think of them as like each of them basically leads this elite army, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that is his personal guard, his 20 quote-unquote sons, because they are biological related. So there's like 60 books written about this thing called the Horus Heresy, which starts in 30K. The best part before we started recording, I was like, interrupt me anytime, be funny, make me laugh. But now she's making me laugh so hard that I can't focus. What'd you call me? What'd you say? Horus Heresy.
Okay.
Because Horus betrayed the emperor. So he's got 20 sons. Once the Horus Heresy starts, two of them, I think Legion 2 and 18, are just magically wiped out. They really fucked up. Basically, 9 of them stay loyal and good with the Emperor. 9 of them defect to Chaos. So if you look back up, remember when I showed you the Mortarion? He was the Nurgle kind of flying bug with the wings and the maces, right?
Yeah.
Let me link him to you again.
Okay.
So Mortarion is a Primarch that defected to Nurgle. So he became a follower. I'll send you again the photo. Because some of them defected to chaos. Uh-huh. And then some of them stayed loyal. Basically, humanity was like at its peak at like pre-30K. Pre-30K, humanity was just killing it. Doing well, especially at like 29K after the Unified. They were doing so good. But basically then the Horus Heresy starts where, without going too much into detail, because even I don't know that much about it. And basically like 80% of the books are about this like 10,000 year period. Basically, one of the sons, Horus, killed the emperor's favorite son. I forgot his name, but he's kind of like, oh, he's hot. He's like a hot demon. Horus killed Sanguinus. Oh my God, girl. Sanguinus is a hottie. Like, look at this imagery.
Okay.
And tell me, so the emperor is on the right. Sanguinus is the one with all the, like, the one on the floor. And then Horus is the one killing him.
Okay. Whoa. Okay.
Sanguinus was allegedly real hot.
Why does this go so
hard? Real hot. What? Right?
Why does this look like Renaissance painting?
Exactly. That's what I love about it. Wow. So TLDR, Horus killed the emperor's favorite son. two legions, we don't know anything about them. They're kind of wiped out. And when our people ask about him, they're like, oh, there is no Legion 2 and 18 in Busting Say, you know?
Okay.
Nine stay loyal, nine defect to chaos. Basically, from here on out, I'm not going to go into too much detail about the Horus Heresy. Like I said, read the 60 or so books written about this.
Sure.
I am reading the books written about this. I'm still getting into it. But after this army, after this war, the emperor, who's exhausted all of his power, is now a husk on a chair. Mm-hmm. And he's being kept alive by sacrificing 10,000 psyker souls, or like 10,000 mage souls per day to keep him alive.
Oh my God.
And this is now where like there's a lot of problems happening where he's gonna die, right? He can't keep this forever.
No, he can't.
Others
that's
are saying he's already dead. That's not Big E. Look, you know, you look at Big E in 30K and then, you know,
that's not my
you
Big E.
Versus the guy he told you not to worry about. That's not my emperor. No. That's a husk in a chair, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of problems with that. But fun fact, 35K was when the age of apostasy.
Like, what is the blue stuff coming off of it?
Right? I don't know. Him graying, him aging.
I think he just got spider webs all over him. Like,
he does. So 35K, age of apostasy happened. The TLDR, big evil pope comes in. And in order to kind of prevent the big evil pope, people say, oh, you know, the church should not have men who bear arms. And he's like, bet. So he created the Sisters of Battle, or the Adeptus Sororitas, who are the guns with nuns that you see. And they're just crazy.
The guns with nuns.
Listen, I'm Metal Gear brain rotted. Also at 35K is when you start seeing the early Tyranid scouts. So you kind of start seeing Tyranids kind of popping up here and there. And again, we're not going to go into Gene Stealers because that's another sect of the Tyranids. But this is where we are now. Okay, fast forward. 40K. We are here now in the story. Tyranids, the buggy bugs, popping up everywhere in the galaxy to the point where people are thinking they probably surrounded us already, because they're popping up everywhere. There's no way they can like teleport or fly that fast, right? Necrons, remember those bad guys?
Mm-hmm.
They're awakening. Yippee!
Good morning.
Cadia was a planet that held for 10,000 years. Cadia stands is a big quote that people say.
Okay.
Guess what? Cadia blows up.
Oh.
Yay.
Wait, what's Cadia?
It's a planet.
Oh, okay.
Cadia was a planet that stood for 10,000 years.
Okay.
It was a big planet that was like a huge defensible planet for humans. So what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to make you and everybody getting into 40K to understand, everything's fucked up. Mm. Everything is bad. Things are not good. Let me show you very quickly a map of the galaxy.
Okay.
When I tell you there's a big hole in the middle of the galaxy, I mean there's a big hole in the middle of the galaxy.
Why did Cadia blow up?
There was a huge siege on Cadia.
Oh. Wow, that's a big old hole in the cow.
There's a big old hole. And if you're kind of near that hole, you're effed. It was the 13 Black Crusade, a lot of stuff. Again, this is also stuff that I will be reading about soon. So I don't want to learn too much about it because, you know, I already know Cadia blows up, right? So,
so this is where we are now.
Right? That's where you live. I have one last thing to explain to you.
Okay.
And then we're done.
Okay.
Have you noticed that I've mentioned stuff like the warp?
Yes.
Okay. So think of the warp as a different parallel reality, but it's got teeth. The best way I can think to describe it is hell, because it has souls of the departed. It has quote unquote Satans, the chaos gods. Mm-hmm. But think about it. The galaxy is really vast, right? How would you go from point A to point B fast? Why don't you just use the warp to fast travel?
It's the nether. Right?
It's the nether. It's so easy. What could go wrong if you open a portal where the souls of the departed and the Satans live, right? Oh. And you navigate through it. So this is what's fun.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, right, the chaos gods will whisper to psychers or the magicians and they'll be like, come on, open a portal to me. Come on. And then if you open it badly, all the demons come out and kill and eat everybody on your planet. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
So if you are bad at closing or opening it, or if you are bad at shielding yourself from it, it's bad. Think of it as like, if you're traveling through the warp, you're trying to sneak through the devil's house.
Okay.
Also in there, emotions are hidden. Everything's hidden. Not everybody can navigate through it. Only like the most advanced mages and, you know, psychers and everything. So, yeah.
Really,
how do you feel about this world that I just described to you? Very briefly, very quickly, this was a very TLDR.
The warp?
How do you like it? The world that I described to you.
Oh, like everything?
Yeah. Thoughts, prayers, feelings?
Definitely thoughts and prayers for everybody living there.
It's bad. There is like no good place to be born. Everything sucks.
Everything is bad.
Everyone's bad.
Yeah. Why is everything so bad?
That's what I like about it. I like that everyone's kind of bad.
Oh. You just like that.
Mm-hmm. It's fun, no?
It does.
I like to get into games with things being like kind of, I don't know.
I think it does make things exciting because it's, you know, you never know who's going to blow up.
Yep.
Who's going to, you know, get eaten.
Yep.
You never know what's going to happen.
So very quickly. Wait. Do you have a favorite chaos god? Oh, sorry.
Oh. I was going to ask real quick, is there any place that has like, you know, just a civilization that like kind of just chills?
Only stuff that we haven't discovered yet or that are isolated.
So like everything is at war.
Everybody is at war. If you're not at war against, let's say you're Imperium of Man. If you're not at war against the Necrons awakening and exterm, because the Necrons are now like, hey guys, we're awakening back.
Yeah.
We own the galaxy. We went to bed. And now that Eldari is done, we're owning this galaxy.
Well, so like if I go visit, I don't know, let me say, if I go visit
Terra, which is Earth.
Yeah, Terra. Will I see like, you know, children and like villages and stuff like, or is it just like, you know?
A lot of civilization lives on huge ships in space. There's a lot of planets that are basically like craft worlds and things like that, where they're just kind of colony planets that just provide resources. I don't recommend being in that universe.
Yeah.
Because think about it. You're Imperium of Man, right? You have to fight against everything. And like, for example, with the Tyranids, there's also the Gene Stealer cults, which is like Tyranids that have started to assimilate to humanity. And they basically like are offspring of humans and Tyranids, and they're also pretty effed up. They're like hybrids, and they're basically there to like assimilate themselves in order to help like break empires from within. It's not good.
So
it's not good.
So like who hurt the creators of the series?
I don't know.
They're just like, yeah, we want everyone to be on fire, everything to be bad.
We want everyone to suffer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We want only evil creature. I mean, well, yep. Evil is subjective. They're all just trying to survive. Yeah. You know?
They're all just trying to. This is like my thing with Tyranids, right? They're evil and they're coming through and they're eating everybody. They're just, what if they're, this is another thing that's been brought up as a theory. What if the reason that the Tyranids are eating everything in order to gain genetic material to grow stronger is because they're running from a bigger threat? I know.
Dun, dun.
Isn't it exciting? Whoa. Oh my God.
Wait, is that, ah! Like a, is that like a real like theory?
It's a theory. I almost said Star Wars.
Wait, what?
Games Workshop theory. But again, this would have been 4 hours longer if I actually went into the Imperium of Man, how they rule to power. I didn't even talk to you about Space Marines or anything like that, because honestly, first of all, there's 60 books written about it that I'm going to be getting into. And secondly, humans are kind of boring.
I'll be honest, right? From 29K to 35K, I kind of got lost.
This is kind of where the whole everything. So Horus Heresy, which is when the Emperor's favorite son gets killed. Crazy. Like that's, I didn't talk about it much because that's where like 60 books are written.
Holy.
And I haven't read those 60 books yet.
Okay. Wow. So. Fake fan, everybody. Everybody fake fan.
What? I'm getting into it. Leave me alone. But I have to say, I feel like I've been getting into the fandom in a really good time. If anybody here is thinking of getting into the fandom, mm-hmm. my experience has been nothing but positive. Even on my stream, I've had people ask me before if I'm going to be doing the tabletop. And I've said, I'm sorry. I just really am collecting the figures that I think look good. And so many people said, hey, I've been a fan for 30 years. I don't play the tabletop. It doesn't make you any less of a fan. Mm-hmm. And just the fandom is so warm and inviting and sweet. And I know it's shocking when I say this because, you know, I am a woman. but I've been nothing but greeted kindly by the fandom and everyone's been super nice and everyone's been just really excited for me to get to know this.
Yeah, that's good. I think we've seen it pop up everywhere and stuff, so mm-hmm. definitely is like, and did you actually get to go to the Warhammer Cafe at all while you were in Japan?
No, because we had COVID in Japan,
so you didn't but even get to stop
I will
by?
Be trying no but no. I will try to go and record a video when we're in Japan this yeah. year. This we're leaving in September, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try to record there. Mm-hmm. And I'm also gonna try to go to other cafes as well.
What kind of cafes?
Well, they do you and your theme cafes. I'll let you know if they do like pop-ups. I'm sure once the Space Marine game comes out or anything like that, if they do any pop-up cafes, I'll invite you.
Oh yeah. Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Oh my gosh. The food would be so gross.
Stop. Don't say that.
No, like but it'll honestly, look bad, right? Probably. Everything is so
probably
grimy.
Honestly, the humans are actually very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just because most of the lore is from the human's perspective. If I were to talk about the humans in any kind of capacity, it would be a 4-hour video versus like the Tyranids. There's not much written about them. There's not much that we know about them, right? Mm-hmm. The Necrons, we know a little bit, but we don't know that much.
Yeah. No, I get it. I think out of all of them,
who do you like just the looks so far? And tell me your favorite Chaos God.
The looks, I like the Necrons the most.
Yeah. Good girl. Me too.
I like those Chaos Gods.
I know this Lanesh photo is so blurry, but you kind of get the vibe.
I get the vibe, yeah. I don't.
If you say Khorne, I won't judge you. Khorne does look cool.
No, he's fine. I think it's I can appreciate a god that is just like no magic. We only use our fists. Like,
yeah, he stabs you in the front.
Because that's so like, you know, fighting on top of the Metal Gear with your fists. Like,
Yep.
That's the kind of vibe I get. But I think maybe with a
Cinch with the eyes?
Yeah, I like him. I like
it that. Feels very like you because he's a little trickster and deceiver.
Yeah.
He's like a fairy. You know?
Fairies are assholes though.
They are.
Nah. Yeah, I don't know. Fairies. I like the tongue coming from the tummy. It's like
Right. It's okay. If it makes you feel any better, foxes are also tricksters and deceivers, so they're not much better.
Well then wouldn't what's his
Yeah.
That's a name.
I think he would be a patron god of both kitsunes and fairies. Yes.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, if I'm a poltergeist, I'm not really a poltergeist, but, you know, that's kind of trickery.
You are a little trickster, though. Of course, please, everybody with the comments, I know I probably don't have to tell you. Please be respectful. If I got something wrong, let me know gently. This is obviously a very small kind of TLDR, just to kind of get a few of the factions out of the way.
I feel like I gained so much from this because now I feel like I'll be able to look at something and be like, oh, I know Teach. I know that. I know that person. Yeah.
If you see, for example, like eyes, if you see feathers, if you see that, you know that's Sinch, right? You're kind of, if you start to see the little rot, you'll know it's Nurgle.
The little rot.
The little rot.
If you see them smelling up the place, you know, a little bit of.
And again, I highly recommend, if you want to get into the books, Infinite and the Divine is my first recommendation. And then the Caiaphas Kane trilogy. It's brutal cunning, but I call it brutal cooning.
What does that mean?
Because that's kind of how it's called, right? It's the brutal cooning.
What does that
also
mean?
That book is really, really fun. Like brutal cunning is just because it's the orcs. For games, again, I highly recommend Mechanicus if you're into tactics games. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend Bolt Gun. I highly recommend Darktide Vermintide for your shooters. Please play it. It's fun.
Bolt Gun. I did buy it, right?
Bolt Gun. Yeah.
Yeah, I got
you'll
it.
You'll get to like fight a lot of the basic, little guys. As? You play as a space marine. So a space marine is like a super soldier of Imperium of Man.
Okay.
So you're, if I remember correctly, you're like 8 feet tall or something. It's crazy.
Oh, wait. This is the one that's like based off or like is kind of like a Doom kind of.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. That would make sense. You're kind of like the Doom guy.
Yeah. Okay. Just so we're clear, I just want to show you what like the human armies look like. No offense to anybody who runs human armies. I completely get you. I completely understand. But they're just little guys painted different colors. You know? Like,
color palette swap.
Like, they're just little guys and they got little tanks. Don't get me wrong. I get it. It's a war game. You need little guys with little tanks. But compared to what I showed you with like the BDSM cows, right? Compared to the BDSM cows, the flesh harp, let me show you the flyers of Sinch. Oh my God.
Sinch.
Oh my goodness. They look, the screamers of Sinch.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Like a huge error.
Yeah, I know. I'm so bad. It's because they're flying. Compare, look at these little blue guys and then look at these guys. What looks cooler to you?
Oh my God. They look so cool. Right?
They look so cool.
The screamers of Sinch.
Like they look awesome. Ah. But then again, I am a filthy alien, so I understand. But basically, just so we're clear, Mint,
I mean, you
like,
are, but yeah.
The human armies, you just have like 18, 20 different human armies and you just paint your little tanks a different color.
Mm.
That's it. No, I don't want that. I want my little tank to look like a 5-year-old's tank, like the orc tanks. You know?
I think for me personally, like I really love military aesthetic. So like I see,
you might love it.
So I do see the Marines and I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, they look cool. I like them a lot. But I think comparatively speaking to like everything else, you know, they become the more generic thing. That's just like, oh, they're just little space guys. They just,
even if you like the way they look, soldiers, you can still kind of agree that the more alien kind of looking stuff looks so much cooler.
Yeah. I agree.
That's my girl. That's my girl.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is where we're at. Any questions, prayers, answers?
The hole in the universe.
Yeah, I don't know, 13th Crusade, that's what I know. And now there's a big hole in the middle of the galaxy. I don't know more about it either.
Yeah.
Maybe the comments would be nice enough to explain that to us.
I
want to
go to there.
Do you really?
Yeah, any hole is a goal.
Maybe you should be following Slaanesh.
Thanks for with that explaining freaking everything.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I feel so much more knowledgeable about, and now I can recognize some things and I'll be like, Adeptus Mechanicus. It's
the guy with the long legs dancing with the sniper rifle.
I feel like being like Wingardium Leviosa.
Leviosa.
Adeptus Mechanicus.
It was actually really tough to figure out what to talk about without A, overwhelming you, B, overwhelming the viewer, C, still getting enough information, but also without, you know, I still want you guys to get into it by yourself, learn about it by yourself, take a look at it by yourself.
Yeah. No, I feel like this was a good amount without, like, I feel like any more I would have been like,
I still feel it was a little lore dumpy, so it could have... But I don't know what I could have shortened, right?
Well, like, I feel like this is the kind of series that becomes lore dumpy because there is just so much.
Oh my God. There is, you don't understand. Yeah. There is, well, you do understand.
I do now.
You do understand.
I understand. Oh.
Mint, it was a absolute pleasure to have you making me laugh and listen to me this week.
Yes. Thank you, Matara, for your wisdom, your Warhammer, sorry,
Beauty?
I forgot the name of the series for a second. Your Warhammer wisdom.
Every time I say GW, you'd be like, hee hee hee. You're so brain rotted.
Sorry. Next week, you'll get to hear all about that. Well, we'll talk about it. I won't explain things. Well, I already have some ideas what I want to do for next week. So.
Cool. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, you guys, if you have heard of Warhammer before, how did you rate Matara's explanation 1 out of 10? Rate it 1 out of 10 is what I'm saying. Like,
no,
don't rate it 1
be nice to me. Be nice to me.
Be nice to Matara and tell her that she did such a great job explaining everything and so
tell
concise.
Tell me I'm cute and not stinky.
Don't push it, you know. And if you have never, if you knew nothing about Warhammer, like myself, what did you think of? Are you more interested in Warhammer now, or did you find some parts like really interesting? I really liked, like you said, the Necrons and them going to war with like the old ones and stuff like that, and then getting put to sleep. And
That's one thing, the war in heaven, that I really want to learn more about because it seems so interesting.
Yeah. So cool. I'm excited to talk about Metal Gear next week.
Me too. I'm excited to hear about it.
Since you talked about like your stuff that you like, I'm going to be like, now I want to talk about stuff I like.
Please. And I completely get it. I really feel, just to give a little like preview to the Metal Gear episode, I feel like when you're very young and you play games, you're like, oh yeah, it's a good game. Mm-hmm. Every game is fun. Mm-hmm. But as you get older and you've played a lot of games, every game doesn't feel as fun because you've already compared it to other games. When I played Metal Gear Solid 1 and Metal Gear Solid 2, I thought, oh my God, I get it. Like, I understand why this game was iconic, why this game defined games and everything and the memes. I get it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I know. Oh, it's really good. And we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Next week. Thank you again, Matara, for explaining
Thank
so much.
Thank you, Mint. Yeah. I love you. We also have our merch. I saw that some of you started receiving our merch and posting photos. Thank you for doing that. The merch is going to be available, I think, until maybe like October 1st or something. It's going to be available for a little bit after the podcast ends. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for your guys' support.
Thank you.
We've also both been announced to be, we should talk about this at the beginning of the episode. Oopsies. We've both been announced to be at Otakuthon and we're going to be giving you more info about this very soon because
we'll
be doing meet and greets
too.
And yeah. But we're so excited to meet you all and thank you for listening and thank you for being here with us.
Yes.
And thank you to the patrons!
Thanks to the patrons. This is the patron
song.
Thanks
to the patrons.
Thanks to the patrons.
Do, 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 do.
Thank you to
this
all the patrons.
This is the patron song.
Da, da, da,
this
da.
Is the song. Patrons, I have a question. What? Which chaos god would you follow? And don't say that you're not going to follow chaos because everybody follows chaos. Why would you follow Big E? He's just some guy on a chair rotting. He's not the sexy emperor that we knew in 30K.
What's wrong with Big E?
Everything. Just let him die, damn it.
I kind of like that he's just like chilling on this couch forever and ever and ever. Does
and
he
getting
even
sacrificed
think?
So many souls. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has to sacrifice 10K or something to
Yeah, live every
a day.
Day. Every day. That's
Who
crazy.
Would continue to support him then? If they're just like, oh, I could be next.
Well,
I could be tomorrow.
It's heretical to not support him. Like, it is heresy to not support him. How dare you speak such words?
I'm going to support.
Patrons, exterminate her. Suck her up with the Luigi thing. suck her up.
I'm going to support that big shit monster, man. Whatever the hell his name was.
Nurgle.
Nurgle.
That's my guy. All right, everybody. We love you. See you soon.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
See you next week. And hags.
Hags, have a great summer.
Have a great summer. Hags. Bye-bye.